نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. I will read this salam on رسول پاک صلى الله عليه وسلم before commencing with the bayan. The condition of the ummah is very well described in this beautiful salam or naat, which was composed to be presented at the Rosa of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam by the late Hazrat Maulana Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. Nabi akram shafi azam dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Nabi akram shafi azam dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Tamam dunya ke hum sataye khade hue hai salam le lo. Nabi akram shafi-e-azam dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Shikasht kashti hai tez dara nazar se ro-posh hai kanara. Shikasht kashti hai tez dara nazar se ro-posh hai kanara. Nahi koi na khuda hamara khabar to ali maqam le lo. Nahi koi na khuda hamara khabar to ali maqam le lo. Nabi akram shafi-e-azam dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Qadam qadam pe hai khauf-e-rehzan qadam qadam pe hai khauf-e-rehzan zameen bhi dushman falak bhi dushman. Oh Allah, even the earth and the heavens have become the enemies of the Muslim Ummah today. We don't seem to have any pilot to steer us out of the storms. Qadam qadam pe hai khauf-e-rehzan zameen bhi dushman falak bhi dushman. Zamana hum se hua hai badzan tum hi mohabbat se kaam le lo. Nabi akram shafi azam dukhe dilon ka payam le lo. Kabhi taqaza wafa ka humse kabhi taqaza wafa ka humse kabhi mazaq-e jafa hai humse. تمام دنیا خفا ہے ہم سے، خبر تو خیر الانام لے لو، تمام دنیا خفا ہے ہم سے، خبر تو خیر الانام لے لو، نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو۔ یہ کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں، یہ کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں، نہ کوئی اپنا نہ ہم کسی کے۔ یہ کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں، نہ کوئی اپنا نہ ہم کسی کے۔ تم اپنے دامن میں آج آقا، تمام اپنے غلام لے لو، نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو، تمام دنیا کے ہم ستائے کھڑے ہوئے ہیں سلام لے لو۔ یہ دل میں ارماں ہے اپنے طیب، مزار اقدس پہ جا کے ایک دن سناؤں ان کو میں حال دل کا، کہوں میں ان سے سلام لے لو، نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو۔ الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدن المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا، اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين، ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون، صدق الله العظيم۔ علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers, the announcement on the board states that the talk will be given on the significance of the day of Ashura, in other words the 10th day of Muharram. Now I'm sure that topic is not new to any one of you that is here in the audience. By now you are familiar with what the day of Ashura is all about. Much literature has been distributed and many, many bayans and talks and waz have been given on this subject in the past and also on the Friday that went by. So then what is the purpose of really getting together here? It is just for revision, and that is the easiest thing to do, is just to revise our lesson. But the most difficult thing to do is to implement that lesson in our lives. To revise is easy and simple, but when it comes to the message of this day of Ashura, or the message of the martyrdom of Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's a great paigham and a message. Now that message, we find it very difficult to implement in our lives. So tonight I will just very briefly discuss a few things about this day of Ashura by way of revision. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one that informed us, or informed the Ummat via the Sahaba, his companions, of the virtues or the significance of this Mubarak day. We would not have come to know if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not inform us. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive wahi. The angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to bring the revelation to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he used to inform the Sahaba Ikiram radiallahu anhu majma'een, and through authentic and reliable chain of narrators, this has reached us. So what we learn from those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is that the day of Ashura was significant right from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made this day significant from the time that He created the heavens and the earth. This day was made significant. It is not that Ashura, or the day of the 10th of Muharram, got its fazilat and virtue and significance because of the martyrdom of Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was a great blessing, or it was a great virtue of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, that Allah ta'ala blessed him with martyrdom on this Mubarak day, the 10th of Muharram. It added to his virtue. But the day of Muharram, or the 10th of Muharram, was significant from all times. Now the ulama of tarikh, or the historians, they have mentioned many, many incidents that took place on the 10th of Muharram. From authentic hadiths we get a few, and the others are mentioned by the ulama of tarikh in the kutub. Amongst those that have been mentioned in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came over to Madina Tayyiba, then he found that the Jews were keeping fast on this 10th of Muharram. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inquired from them that why they were fasting on this day, they said that it was the day, it is an azim day, it is a great day, it is a Mubarak day, and it was the day when Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation from the clutches of Fir'aun. Now the history of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is a very, very long history. There was one muqarrir, or person that gives bayan and talks. Whenever he commenced with the history or with the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, then irrespective of what the occasion is, he would not stop until Fir'aun and his people are finally drowned in the Red Sea. Now that's a long story. So when they used to tell him sometimes that the time is short, or this is the occasion of nikah, or it is the occasion of walima, or some other occasion, so it's going to take a long, long time if you have to give the whole history of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how he was sent to Fir'aun and all the details. He says, kuch bhi ho, jab tak Fir'aun dubega nahi, us waqt tak baitna padega. Jab tak Fir'aun dubega nahi, us waqt tak baitna padega. So now I'm just thinking whether I must also do the same, commence with the history of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then tell you, kuch bhi ho, jab tak Fir'aun dube nahi, until he doesn't drown, you have to sit. Nevertheless, we are not going to go into the details, but as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Because of this salvation, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala finally gave him victory. His people crossed the Red Sea. Allah Ta'ala made way for them. Fir'aun and his army, when they came in, then the waters of the Red Sea covered them up. And that was the end of Fir'aun and his army. So this occasion was an occasion of rejoicing, of happiness, of Eid for the Bani Israel. They were extremely happy. So in that shukr, they kept fast. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam observed fast. So they too kept fast, and they said that we are keeping this fast because of this incident that took place. So Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that I am more closer to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you are, and I am more deserving of keeping this fast than you are. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam observed the fast, and he said that if I have to live until next year, then I will keep the fast of the 9th also. And he told those Sahaba-i-Kiram of his, Khaliful Yahud, you must go against this practice of the Yahud, that they are fasting just on the 10th, so you must fast on the 9th and 10th. And the jurists have said, or the 10th and 11th. So that you go against this action of the Yahud. Now from this, there's a very, very important lesson which I have mentioned in the past also, and I'm revising and repeating, that if in ibadat, this was an ibadat, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not want the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'een to emulate them and do exactly as they do. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also said, Khaliful Yahud, that go against the Yahud and the Mushrikeen. And what must you do? He said that qassu sharib, shorten your mustaches and lengthen your beards. And the length has been described as one fist. Now why did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say that? It's because those people used to do shaving of the beard. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you go against that. In this also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that go against them. So in all our matters of life, especially our cultural life as we call it, then we should not be emulating or just following the practices that are prevalent in our society, irrespective of where it comes from. We are unconcerned where it comes from. As long as it is prevalent in our society, we do not even question that is this an Islamic custom or is it an un-Islamic custom. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us a lesson that even in this fast, keep one extra fast so that you do not do exactly as the Yahud were doing. So this is the important lesson that we take, that we should not just emulate and follow blindly whatever customary practices come to us from the west or the east, north or south. We have to look at the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and then emulate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. Then only it will become an ibadat. Then only will it be pleasing to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. If not, then we will not be getting any sawab and reward. Now for example, our getting together here on this eve of the 10th of Muharram. Now no way in any kitab does it say that you must have a bayan on the eve of the 10th of Muharram. So if any person considers it as an extremely important thing in the history of Islam or in the teachings of Islam, that we must get together on the eve of the 10th of Muharram and have a talk, have a Naat Sharif, have a dua, then that will become bidat, because that is now ihdas fid deen. Something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't emphasize upon, the Sahaba-i-Kiram did not do, and we consider it as a sunnat and we do it, then it becomes bidat. But if we do not consider it as a sunnat, we do not consider it as a farz or wajib, we just say that for revision purposes or just to educate the people with regards to Ashura, we are having this program. And because it's a Mubarak occasion, we will make dua in congregation, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will accept it. But we do not criticize anyone that does not participate in this kind of a program. In some masjid, if they do not have a program, then we do not consider it as some great evil action that they have undertaken. Then we will say that it is permissible. These are important things. We must educate ourselves and keep a balance in everything. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that we should keep the fast on the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and 11th, that is tomorrow, and those who kept fast today keep tomorrow, and those who didn't keep, then they can keep tomorrow and the following day. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that as far as the virtue of this fast is concerned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive his sins of the past year, a compensation of the sins of the past year. Now this is again something that I have to repeat every time, that we should not just read these hadiths and then believe that what it means is that we can commit all kinds of sins for the whole year, and on the 10th of Muharram keep one fast, and then we are forgiven. Finish. Halal, haram, sab kuch andar, lekin hai mast qalandar. Halal, haram, anything goes inside, keep one fast on the 10th of Muharram, then we are over. Or just like that famous saying, that wo billi ninnanwe chuhe khakar phir haj ko chali. The cat ate up first 99 rats, and then he said, well, now I have committed a lot of sin, so what I must do, make one hajj. But what about all the property of the people that has been digested already? Now that must be repaid, it must be returned. We have to seek forgiveness from those people whose rights have been violated. After that, the minor sins that the person has committed, there are millions of minor sins that we commit throughout the year. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the barakat of this fast, He will forgive. But as far as the major sins are concerned, there has to be sincere tawbah. And sincere tawbah means that the person pledges that he's not going to return to those sins. Accidentally again, if he committed the sin, then he makes plenty of tawbah again. But he pledges to Allah Ta'ala that I will not go back to that sin. And also the person is making plenty of tawbah and istighfar, and he is making the intention of repaying to whomsoever whatever is due. His namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, whatever has become qaza, he starts fulfilling that. Then inshallah that person's tawbah will be accepted. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed the Sahaba-e-Kiram, his companions, that Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sins of the year that has gone by, in compensation for those sins. So not one Sahabi understood that to mean that now we've got a license to sin for the rest of the year, and then again we'll keep one fast on the 10th of Muharram. They all understood that to mean that we must obey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam under all conditions, and accidentally those sins that we commit, then we make plenty of tawbah and we fast on this 10th of Muharram, Allah Ta'ala will forgive those sins. So this is a great virtue of this day. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed that it is a day in which Allah Ta'ala accepted the tawbah of a nation, a whole nation, and in future also He will accept the tawbah. That means it's a day of tawbah, it's a day of repentance. It is a day of turning towards Allah Ta'ala, seeking forgiveness, and seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures whatever we want. But a day of total and sincere repentance. So what would we think of that person who indulges in sins on the 10th of Muharram? Now many of us are in the habit, our habits have become such that we just can't restrain ourselves. We just cannot resist, whether it is the 10th of Muharram, or it is the eve of Eid, or it is Eid day itself, or it is Laylatul Qadr. Our drug habits continue, our zina continues, our watching of the filthy television programs continues. We do not even show any kind of concern that it is a Mubarak day or it's a Mubarak night. Now this is something that is very dangerous, because then we are inviting the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is opening the doors and saying that if you have gone far, I am your Rabb, I am willing to accept you, irrespective of what your condition is, you come back to me. I have given you these days, I have given you these nights, because I want to make you mine. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala would not have informed us of these Mubarak days and nights. But we say that no, whatever happens, happens, I must not be deprived of sensual pleasures and the evil and haram pleasures and haram entertainment in which I am indulging. So if we have got together here considering the 10th of Muharram a significant day, then let us at least make this niyat, that tomorrow for one day at least, we will go on a complete diet from all sins, irrespective of what that sin is and how addicted we are to that sin. But if we do that just for this one day, I have hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that inshallah, Allah ta'ala will give many, many brothers the tawfiq to then continue in that line. So first thing, let us make that niyat, that tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram, and it's a day for the forgiveness of sins. And we are addicted to sins. All of us are sinful. None of us can claim ourselves to be perfect.
But there are certain sins that we become addicted to and we find very, very difficult to give up. But that is just an illusion. There are people who were addicted to drink, to drugs, to all kinds of vices. And when they gave it up, now they say, we do not seem to miss it at all. Many of your brothers are like that, young friends. So it's just a little himmat and courage that is required. How many times we have gone without food, without drink, just because of some death in the family? How many times we have closed our businesses and shops just because there was a strike, or just because of some other requirement of the government, or there was some riot, or there was something else? So many things we do, although we are in the habit of certain things, but on occasions we go against that habit. How many people are in the habit, they just cannot do without the cigarette? They just cannot do without it. But in the month of Ramadan, where do they get the courage of giving it up from dawn till sunset? So it's just in the mind. We just have to apply ourselves and make the niyat that I want to give up this habit. And Allah Ta'ala will then make it easy. The person who shows an interest and shows a willingness, then Allah Ta'ala is the one who will make it easy for this person. But the person who shows his weakness and he says, I can't do it, so then he's going to find it difficult all his life. How many people were addicted to sweets and chocolates and cakes and biscuits? But when the doctor said that your sugar level is very high, and if you have to take just one more sweet or chocolate, then you will go into, then you are going to depart from this world and rest in peace. So then see how they give it up. That person, no matter how much he's addicted, but he says, please make sure that you carry saccharine with you. I can't have tea with sugar. But sometimes they will eat the gulab jamun, mitai, everything, and then they'll ask for saccharine. That's common with all those people who got sugar problem, that they will eat everything, but when it comes to tea, they'll say, we must have sweetener. Nevertheless, so when we are prepared to give up so many of our habits for the sake of our physical health and our bodies, then for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and our spiritual bodies, what is it difficult if we give up sins? Because it is not helping us. Sins are not helping us. People are suffering. Lives have become miserable. Problems, problems upon problems. Fights, arguments, division, quarrels. Husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, family split down. Everywhere you find nothing but problems. In spite of everything, it's not that they are deprived of good food or good clothing or shelter. But go and find out, go deep into the lives of people that who we see outwardly, they've got plentiful, Muslim or non-Muslim. You will find exceptions to the rule. But generally those who are disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, one son makes the life miserable, one daughter makes the life miserable, a wife makes the life miserable, a husband makes the life miserable. Most of those people who come up with problems, if I have to ask them that, do you have a television at home? They said, yes, we do have. Are you prepared to give up watching all those filthy movies and films? No, Mawlana, we watch very little. We watch very little. But we're not prepared to give it up. Now, how are we going to get peace and happiness and contentment? And how are we going to bring that rahmat? There is no way. We don't have any magic wand to bring that rahmat into the house. One taweez, we put it on the ceiling, you think it's going to ward off all Allah Ta'ala's azab. When the pictures of those animals are coming in, when the pictures of those churches, the temples, the idols, the songs, the music, the adultery, the fornication, the nudity, everything we bring into our lounge, into our rooms, into our bedrooms, and after that we say, Mawlana, please give one taweez in which will solve all my problem. So if anybody is giving a taweez in spite of all that, then it's not going to help. So what I am saying is that let us make this niyat. If we have got together here, it's not farz wajib for us to get together, but we got together to revise our lesson, then let us make this niyat that tomorrow at least one day, for the whole day, beginning with Fajr Salat, that we will make our Fajr Salat with Jamaat, and then all the other Salats also we'll make it with Jamaat. Even if it means we have to close our shop, but we'll make it with Jamaat. And then we'll stay away from all sins. If we are tempted towards any sin, we will make tawbah and istighfar, but we are going to try and stay away from all sins. Then see just that 24-hour diet from sins, what kind of noor it brings into the heart. There is noor. When the person stays away from sins, there's a noor in it. But after that, we have to retain it. We have to accumulate it. We have to build it up. Again, that example comes to mind, and I'm going to repeat any example that comes. It is many times beneficial for a person who sometimes comes for the first time and he hears it. And sometimes it is beneficial for those who have already heard it. That when a person starts digging a well, then in the early stages, what do you get? You don't get water straight away. Now that one day's diet from sin is not going to bring you straight away to the depths of the ocean of Noor. What's going to happen is that when you are digging for the well in the early stages, nothing but sand and dust comes out. In fact, you can't even stand around there, so much of sand blows from there. After some time it starts hitting the rocks, still it doesn't give any water. Now if this person says that I'm trying from this morning and I've gone down 100 feet and still I don't seem to be getting water, so let me give it up. So if he's going to give it up, he's not going to get any water. But the person who is experienced, the person who knows about wells and water, then he says, no, there is water here and it's only another 50 feet away. Just continue. Now if this person takes his suggestion and his advice and continues, then after some time there will be a mixture of water and sand. But still that water and sand is not good enough for this person to drink. But he goes a little further and then he strikes water. And such beautiful water that not only it quenches his thirst, but millions of people sometime, they make use of the well water and they quench their thirst. So this one day of diet is not going to bring that ocean same time. But if the person then follows it up the next day and the next day and the next day of his life, then inshallah, I promise you, I guarantee you, in the masjid we can't be speaking lies. It is Quran and Hadith which I am telling you, the mafhum of which I am giving you, that Allah Ta'ala will then definitely give you that sukoon, that peace, that tranquility, that serenity, that joy, that satisfaction in the heart. They are diamonds. In the eye of the person, the diamonds of the world will lose their shine and glitter. He will make use of it because he's living in this world. So he's not going to reject any ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala if it is coming. If he gets gold, silver, wealth, property, he's going to accept it because it's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. He'll make use of it. But the glitter and shine of that will disappear from his gaze and from his heart and from his sight, because now he's got such diamonds that it's priceless. Nothing can pay for it. And Allah Ta'ala gives that within the heart. So outwardly we cannot see it, who has got what. But Allah Ta'ala will give it. So this is the day for that. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was thrown into the fire. Again, a long story which you all know. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered the fire directly. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. پہلے آگ میں ڈالا پھر آگ کو پھول کیا کس نے ان کے نام کی گنگاتے ہیں ابراہیم خلیل اللہ اللہ. So first they put him into the fire. So who is it that cooled that fire? Who is it that cooled that fire? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him success in the fire. So that happened on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam story I mentioned many times in my majlises, and I repeat that there is great lesson in that story also. All the stories of the prophets mentioned in the Quran Sharif, there's great lessons in it. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, finally when he went into the stomach of the whale, then darkness upon darkness upon darkness. The darkness of the night, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the stomach of the whale. And there Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam says, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. So the Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, although he did not commit any sin, it was an error of judgment, that's a long story. But he says that I am of those who have done injustice. And that is the lesson that we take. That irrespective of who we may be and what we may be doing, but we acknowledge our mistakes, we repent, we do not justify our sins. If it is our weakness, then we acknowledge, it is my weakness. If somebody has to say that you are doing this, it is wrong, and we know it is wrong, they don't say, but your father is also doing the same thing, but your grandfather is worse than that, what are you telling me? If somebody says about the person something, then he goes to the whole family. But your family is like this, your parents are like that. If that person pointed out a weakness of ours, then immediately it is the demand of humility and tawazu that we should immediately accept and acknowledge and say, brother, I thank you for bringing it to my attention, and go on reminding me, but it is my weakness. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me the hidayah to give it up. That will be more pleasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala than justifying it. Justifying a sin is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not pleased with. So Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that in the stomach of the whale, this is the dua that he makes. And when he made this dua, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered the whale to deliver him, bring him to the shore. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam comes out. Now what is the lesson there? That we are also in different kinds of darkness. There's the darkness of ignorance. There's the darkness of the cinemas and the theaters and the songs and the movies and the adultery and the fornication and the drugs and the drink and the wine and the women and all kinds of fitnas that have engulfed us. Now there's so much of darkness. Now what do we do in such darkness? We must turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and tell, oh Allah, remove us from this darkness. Take us out of this darkness. We have done injustice upon ourselves. It's not going to get us anywhere. It really hurts, I'm telling you the truth. It really hurts me when, and I feel a deep-hearted pain, when I see a young friend, a flower of Islam, a flower of the Ummat of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was just about blooming, and then suddenly he gets trapped in a company that takes him to drugs, takes him to drink, takes him to all kinds of vices. And then this young person, he loses his health, he loses his wealth, he loses his intelligence, he loses everything at the age of 18, 20 and 22, and is gone, finished. Sometimes AIDS, sometimes this, sometimes that. What cases we are seeing. Now, after the discussion or after consultation or after talking to the person, because they are patients, they are sick, we have to help them. But we can't get rid of the harm and the damage that has already been caused. One young friend asked me, he says, Maulana, I have been indulging in these type of sins all my life. Now I have made tawbah, I am giving it up. Will Allah Ta'ala make me maaf? Will Allah Ta'ala forgive me? So I said, definitely He will forgive. In fact, He will make you more beloved than us, because you are sincerely repenting, you have thrown away all the evil. It's a real mujahada that you made, a great sacrifice that you are making. So Allah Ta'ala will love you, He will forgive you. Allah doesn't hold any grudge against anybody. But what are you going to do about the damage that it has already done to your liver and to your heart and to your lungs and to your head and to your body? What are you going to do about that? So many years of drug taking, what are you going to do about the damage that it has caused? The damage you cannot repair overnight. So let us make this the starting point, that we want to give up the sins of our lives. The temptations will be very, very strong. In fact, when the person makes his niyyah to give up sins, shaitan makes an all-out effort. And then he will bring such kind of pictures in front of him, of such kind of faces in front of him, or such kind of friends in front of him, that this person will again want to go back to the old vices. It plays the same old reel. But if this person just shows a little bit of strength, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then make it easy for this person. So that is the first thing. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his tawbah was accepted on this day. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was delivered on this day. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was delivered and given salvation. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and so many other anbiya that have been mentioned by the ulama of tariq. So one thing that is common there is that it was the acceptance of tawbah. On this Mubarak day, it was the acceptance of tawbah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the fast of the 10th of Muharram farz upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people prior to the fast of Ramadan becoming farz. Prior to the fast of Ramadan becoming farz, it was farz to keep this fast of the 10th of Muharram. But after the fast of Ramadan having become farz, it was abrogated. Now if somebody keeps it, it is sawab. But again, we should not look down upon anybody that does not keep it, because it's not farz. Anything that is not farz, you must encourage. But you do not run down a person that you are not fasting on this day. See, I am fasting. So that is the 10th of Muharram. That most of these incidents took place on this 10th of Muharram. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave this virtue. And one more virtue that we find in the books of Hadith is that if a person has to provide a little more than, I'm giving you the meaning, make a little extra provision on the day of Muharram the 10th. On the 10th of Muharram, if he has to give a little extra provision to his wife and children and family, if a person is eating one curry a day, then on the 10th of Muharram he increases it to two, or provides a little better than what he was providing on other days, then Allah Ta'ala will give this person barakat for the rest of the year. Now here again, a word of caution, that if we are going to take haram provisions and give it to our families, it is not going to help. Barakat is not going to come. Barakat only comes with halal. So on this 10th of Muharram, if a person has got some doubt on his earnings, now listen carefully, otherwise you will say, Maulana Yunus Patel gave us some beautiful suggestions that if anyone has got haram money, then there's a new kind of machine now, that you put the haram inside there, it comes out halal. So I'm not giving you any kind of prescription of that nature. What I am saying is that that person who has got some doubt, or has got doubt on some of his earnings, then at least on these type of days and occasions, the person should borrow some money or go and buy on credit and then pay off from that salary of his or from that money that he has got with him or that has been accumulated at the banks, then he pays that off. But he goes and buys the food on credit, or buys it after borrowing some money from some friend or the other, and then goes and purchases it. So now this money that he has borrowed is 100% halal. And what purchase he has made is also 100% halal. Now that little doubt that he has got in some of his earning, which he doesn't know, he cannot really separate, he just has some doubt that there could be something haram that could have come along the line. So inshallah, this food that he is providing now will be 100% halal. And when halal goes into the system, then it makes the person think better. It makes the person get more interested in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, in being kind, in being generous, in being hospitable. It assists him in his taqwa, in his tawakkul, in his yaqeen. Because whatever goes inside, after that, this is what is going to be the end result. If he's going to eat halal, then he is going to get good ideas and good thoughts. And if he's going to put haram into the stomach all the time, then it is going to take him to adultery, fornication, prostitutes, cinemas, theaters. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that I gauge from your spending how your earning was. He says, I look at your spending and I conclude what kind of earning you had. If the person's money is going in cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, here, there, and all kinds of haram, then there's something seriously wrong. The person must take a stock of his earnings. Either he could be straight, but from where it came might not be a straight source. There are many people, alhamdulillah, now they are namazis, they are honest, they are truthful, but they fail to check that the inheritance that came, whether it was Islamically due to them or not, the father may have left an un-Islamic will, and because of that the son inherited everything and the daughters got deprived. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, the parents are deprived. Yet the parents are also heirs in the estate. If the son has to die and he's got parents and he's got a wife and he's got his own children, so his wife, his children and his parents are going to be heirs. They are going to inherit. Now so many estates the parents have been deprived. So many estates the sisters have been deprived. So many estates the daughters have been deprived. It just depends. So now this person is very much namazi and is doing everything. He says, no, but Maulana, I do everything right. Yes, you're doing right. But where did it come from? So Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh says that I look at your spending and then I conclude what your earning was like. So this 10th of Muharram, make sure that this spending that we do for our families, it is done from halal sources. 100% halal. Stay away from haram and you will see barakat in your earnings. Then again, those people who have taken loans from the banks, they are on overdrafts, they've got bonds, and as I always say, that nowadays our carpets are on interest, our shoes on interest, our pants on interest, our shirts on interest, our roofs on interest, our cars on interest. But we make dua, oh Allah, give us barakat and rahmat. How is it going to come? So then sell, I keep on saying this, that those who are indebted to banks and they are owing monies, then don't stay under the shadow of the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sell, sell, sell. Whatever you have surplus, sell it. If it means that you have to catch the bus to town, then catch the bus to town. If it means that you have to live in a simple little flat and pay rental, then do so. Let the people say that this man at one time was an owner of a huge bungalow and today is paying rental in a flat. What does it matter if the people are going to say those things? Allah will become pleased. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one person said, he says, well, now that I started keeping a beard, my family members or my wife and others are laughing at me. He said, unko hasne do, taaki qiyamat ke din tumhe rona na pade. Let them laugh so that on qiyamat day you don't have to cry. They are not going to come to our assistance in the grave. They are not going to come to our assistance on the Maidan of Hashar, on the plains of judgment. They are not going to be there to assist and help us. And leave alone the judgment days and after death, because these days those things don't appeal to us too much. Even in this world, look at the history of all those people that were borrowing from the banks, taking interest of the borrowing on interest just for a luxurious style of living. Where are they today? Most of those big, big companies, where are they? We don't even hear their names today. And this is the truth which I am telling you. Just go back 30 years and start seeing that where are those names today. So it will never bring barakat. So let us take another pledge, or let us make another pledge. Let's make a start somewhere. Let this, this is not a bayan. I am talking to you and I am talking to myself. That let us now make a start somewhere in life. That we say that, all right, I've got some timeshare. Sell the timeshare. It's not necessary. You can stay at home and enjoy your holidays. If you have the money, you go, otherwise stay at home. The person has got a spare car, get rid of it. The person has got an extra house, he's got an extra building, he's got an extra property, he's got a land somewhere. And all those things, shaitan is whispering into his ears, just hold on, because very soon the market is going to be the seller's market. Now, shaitan is going to keep on whispering and make us hold on to everything and keep paying interest for this, for that, and finally what happens is the carpet is pulled from beneath the feet and the person makes hi, the bank has tightened the noose around his neck. And the bank manager is nobody's friend, that I always say. He is the friend of your money. If you got money, then he will make you salam. And if you haven't got money, then the person is not interested in you. One person won. Of course it was not right for him to even announce such a win, but he said this himself to me when I was teaching in one of the towns, I won't mention the town, in the 70s. So he won 40,000 rand in those days. 40,000 rand was very big money. He was going through very difficult times and the bank was tightening the noose and the manager was not interested in giving him any further reprieve, and finally he was about going and he won this 40,000 rand. He says that manager actually came to my house and he says, what can I do for you? You know, what other facility can I provide for you? Because he was owing the bank only 10,000 or 15,000. He says the bank manager came to my house and he was straight away offering me facilities and whatever else. So what was he making salam to? Making salam to his money. So let us make another pledge that whatever haram dealings that we are having, we are going to come out of it. And what we can't come out of immediately, we'll make plenty of tawbah over it. What you can't come out immediately, make plenty of tawbah over it. And keep asking Allah. These days we don't say that you must give up your job if it is haram immediately. Therefore it is important also that you ask those people who have some experience in guiding people out from their sins. Otherwise a person just goes in josh after listening to one bayan and the Maulana tells him that finish, if you are working for a bank or something, just give it up immediately and out from there. In fact, even if that person is working in a bar, but if he's got five or six children and he's got rent, light, water to pay, and he hasn't got an alternative and another job, and his iman is weak, then we will say carry on with that serving of that drinks there. But don't be happy, regret, express shame, nadamat, and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to find a way out for you. Keep on searching for another job as an unemployed person searches. The person must search for another job as an unemployed person searches. Don't give it up now. Make tawbah over it. Carry on with that job. But search for another one as an unemployed person searches. Then Allah will also find a way out. So that is another thing we must try and now rectify. When halal will start coming to our system, our children will start eating halal, our families will start eating halal, then you see the noor and the barakat in those homes. There are so many examples of people who, after selling off all the surplus properties and things, when they paid the banks out and now they've got cash, instead of owing other people, they are seeing how much of barakat they are seeing. So this is the provision part, that on this 10th of Muharram, if to provide your own families, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give barakat for the whole year, then what do you think about those who give charities? So on the 10th of Muharram, if we are providing for our own families a little better food than the other days, and little more than the other days, then at least from our earnings, think of those who are poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphans. Many a times they are in our neighborhood, many a times they are just living very near us, but we are not even aware that these people haven't even had food to eat for the day. So we should try and take care of them. Or otherwise there are other causes at present. We know Palestine, Afghanistan, Kashmir, Chechnya, Bosnia, and even local and other places. There's so much of suffering, so much of poverty. So then we make sure that we give it to the right people. We don't give money to those people who just want to go and spend it in some haram activities. So that is the gist of the 10th of Muharram. That there's not much that has to be done. It is a day of tawbah, istighfar. As far as the shahadat of Hazrat Imam Hussein is concerned, for that I am thinking seriously that inshallah, in the majlises or something, we'll go through the whole history of Imam Hussein or Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, to show that exactly how he was martyred and why was he martyred. We must take a lesson from his martyrdom, that he was not prepared to accept Yazid as the governor, and he considered Yazid not to be worthy of his khilafat, so he was not prepared to accept that, come what may. But after that whole history, and when he arrives at Karbala, and just before his martyrdom, what lessons did he leave behind for us? That he never missed his namaz even in that state, besieged all sides, but he's not missing his namaz. His tilawat of the Quran Sharif continues. His tilawat of the Quran Sharif continues. And then if we have to look at his family, his children, then look at the sacrifice, look at the spirit of sabr that they had. So as far as martyrdom is concerned, it is a great honor for a person to be a martyr. The Sahaba-i-Kiram looked forward to martyrdom. Children used to look forward to martyrdom, shahadat. Women used to look forward to shahadat. And the whole family of Rasul-e-Pak is full of shaheeds, as I mentioned many times. That if you have to take Rasul-e-Pak himself, he was given poison, the effect of which poison lasted until his death. So we will say that he was made shaheed. But nobody slayed him, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Quran Sharif that we will protect you. Now if somebody had taken a sword and na'uzu billah taken the neck of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam off, then we would have said it's gone against the teaching of the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala protected him in that manner, but the effect of that poison until his death, we will say it was shahadat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's son-in-law, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was martyred. His son-in-law, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was made shaheed. And whilst he was reading the Quran Sharif, he was made shaheed. Water, he himself purchased the Bir Ruma, the well, for 12,000 dirhams and made it waqaf on the ummah to drink the water. But for so many days, those rebels did not even allow water to reach him. The fingers of his wife were chopped off. Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, the father-in-law of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While she was on the musalla in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Lulu Firoz, an Iranian Majusi, he stabbed him. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala falls, and it's a whole history there. But we don't celebrate, we don't start mourning. Nowhere do we find the day of martyrdom of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala that everybody is mourning. Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala everybody is mourning. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala everybody is mourning. So this mourning, and which carries on in the Shia lives, it is not something that is Islamic. The beating up of chests and striking the body with swords and with knives and allowing blood to flow and all these type of things has got nothing to do with Islam. As one great Buzruk said, he said, Log kehte hain ke hai Hussein, main kehta hoon ke wa Hussein. He said, people are saying hai Hussein, but I'm saying wa Hussein. Congratulations to you, O Hussein, that you remain so firm and steadfast on the teaching of your grandfather, that you were prepared to give your life, but you were not prepared to sacrifice that principle of justice and truthfulness. So, wa Hussein. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take lessons from the lives of these shuhada. Let us make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما Oh my beloved Allah, Oh my Rahim Allah, Oh my Kareem Allah, Oh my most forgiving Allah, Oh my compassionate, kind, loving, caring Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram. Bless us with life until tomorrow, my beloved Allah. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us on the eve of this 10th of Muharram and also tomorrow, oh my Allah. Ay Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ay Allah, hum nadim hai, hum sharminda. We are ashamed of our sins, oh Allah. We are not justifying any of our sins. Oh Allah, how can we deceive you? Oh Allah, when we were committing sins, thinking that nobody is watching us, Oh Allah, you were watching everything. You could have seized us there and then. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have brought about humiliation, disgrace and suffering upon us there and then. But oh my Allah, how loving you are, how caring you are, how compassionate and kind and forgiving you are, that in spite of our sins, you continued giving us food to eat, clothes to wear, shelter above our heads. Ay Allah, you are pouring your ni'mats upon us and we are indulging in more and more sins. Ay Allah, but tonight we are extending our hands before you. Oh Allah, we want to enter the day of Muharram the 10th in a clean way. Ay Allah, we want to enter the Muharram 10th in a purified manner. Ay Allah, purify our hearts of all sins. Ay Allah, who else is there that can purify our hearts besides you? Ay Allah, Tere siwa hawara koi nahi, Tere siwa koi sahara nahi, Tere siwa koi hawara nahi. Ay Allah, if you are not going to forgive us, if you have to reject sinful ones like us because of our sins, Oh Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat and forgiveness from us, then my Allah, you tell us which other door is there for us that we can tap, which other home is there that we can go in and beg, which other deity for us is there before whom we can extend our hands. Oh Allah, you attach these begging bowls to our bodies. We are extending them before you. Oh Allah, we believe in you as an all-seeing, all-hearing Allah. Oh Allah, you are all-powerful, you are almighty. Oh Allah, you dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you. Oh Allah, we are turning towards you. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive our parents. Forgive our wives and children. Forgive our brothers and sisters. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, there was no such thing as light and darkness for you. Oh Allah, even if there is a tiny little black ant that is crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. Oh Allah, you see that ant. Oh Allah, how you cannot see us. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the realization that you are all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes. This great ni'mat of our eyes, oh Allah, we have used it for watching so much of haram. Those who are blind, they cannot see their own parents. They cannot see their children. Oh Allah, they cannot see the colors of the rainbow. They cannot drive on the streets. Oh my beloved Allah, what difficulties they experience because of no sight. And we, oh Allah, have shown no appreciation for this great gift of yours. Day and night, 24 hours, we watch so much of haram with our eyes. Ay Allah, we are asking for forgiveness of the sins of our eyes, the sins of our ears, the sins of our tongues. Oh my beloved Allah, we have spoken so much of lies with our tongues. Oh my Allah, so much of false oaths and qasams we take with our tongues. Oh my beloved Allah, so much of fraudulent dealings we do with our speech. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our tongues. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet. Our hands have touched so much of haram. Our feet have walked towards so much of haram. You could have paralyzed us there and then. Oh my Allah, but you are so kind and so forgiving. Allah, forgive us the sins of our hands and feet, the sins of our heart and mind. Allah, you give us strength in our bodies. We use the food of yours. Oh Allah, the water you send down from the heavens for us. Every ni'mat of yours we use for your disobedience. Allah, tera hi diya hua khana kha kar, jab hamare jism mein quwwat aata. Allah, jab hamare dimag mein quwwat aati. Allah, when our bodies get strength from the food that we eat, then we use it for your disobedience. Allah, hum kitne namak haram hai, lekin hum maafi chahte hai. We are seeking forgiveness, oh my Allah. Bless each and every one of us with long life, so that we may accumulate the maximum amount of good deeds. Oh Allah, bless all of us that are here, our sisters who are at the madrasa, and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Oh my Allah, bless us with long life. Bless us with good health. We are sick and ailing, oh my Allah. Allah, hum bimar hai. Oh Allah, bless us with shifa. Our brothers and sisters, parents, relatives, family members, whoever is sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in hospitals, give them cure. Allah, those who are suffering any kind of ailment, give them cure. We are spiritually and physically ill, give us cure from all our ailments and diseases. Oh my Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual health and physical health. Ay mere pyare khuda, jo pareshan hal hai, unki pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Those who are suffering financial difficulties and problems, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and sustenance. Oh Allah, there is no shortage and limit in your treasures of halal. Bless them with plentiful of halal. Oh Allah, protect us and safeguard us from haram. Oh Allah, on this eve we are pledging to you that we are not going to return to those sins. Oh Allah, and we are not going to go back to those banks for borrowings. Allah, take us out from all the haram. Allah, bring in our lives nothing but halal. Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Allah, those whom you have blessed with children, make them obedient to the parents. Make them obedient to you. Allah, bless us with your ma'rifat. Bless us with your yaqeen. Bless us with your muhabbat. Allah, bless us with the love of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, hum gunegar hai. Hum siyakar hai. Hum gande hai. Hum napaak hai. ہم مجرم ہیں, ہم خطاکار ہیں, لیکن میرے خدا ہم تیرے بندے ہیں, تجھے چھوڑ کر ہم جائے کہاں؟ اے میرے اللہ, تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی ہے نہیں. او اللہ, where do we go? Whatever we may be, but we are your slaves, we are your servants. Oh my Allah, change the condition of our hearts, change the direction of our lives. Our lives, oh Allah, have become restless. There's uneasiness, there's anxieties and worries. Oh Allah, there's divisions and disunities. There's quarrels and arguments and all kinds of problems. Oh my Allah, remove all our problems. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Ya Allah, bring happiness into our lives. Ya Allah, bring happiness into our lives. Ya Allah, give us such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Oh Allah, we want to become yours. We want to become yours. Nafs and shaitan do not want us to taste the enjoyment of being yours. Ay Allah, nafs and shaitan want to create obstacles and barriers in our becoming yours. But oh Allah, what is nafs and shaitan in front of you? Ay Allah, remove the nafs and shaitan from our lives. Ay Allah, make us yours with your power of jazm. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shayad nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zabi meri. Oh Allah, if you become mine, everything is mine. And if you are not mine, then nothing will be mine. Our children will not be ours. Oh Allah, our businesses will not give us barakat. Our homes will not be a place of peace and happiness. But if you are ours, oh Allah, everything will be ours. Allah, tu hamara banja. Make us yours and become ours. Koi mujhse puche main kya mangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Koi mujhse puche main kya mangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hu. Wo ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska, yahi raat din main dua mangta hu. Oh Allah, if someone has to ask me, then what am I asking? Oh Allah, I will say, I'm asking you. Hey, very Allah, if somebody has to question me, what are you asking? I will say, I'm asking my Allah to become mine and to make me His. Hey, very Allah, tu hamara banja. Allah, how long are we going to walk on the surface of the earth like hypocrites? How long are we going to remain on the earth disobeying you? How long are we going to remain on the surface of the earth disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One day the angel of death is going to come, O Allah. Ay Allah, he's going to extract the soul from every part of our bodies. Our wrist watches will be taken out. Our false teeth will be removed. Our fashionable clothes will be sliced with the scissors and thrown away. Hay mere Allah, we will take nothing with us except our kafan and the deeds that we have done in our lives. Very Allah, when the time of our death comes, don't let the death angel find us in a disco. Don't let the angel of death find us in a casino. Oh Allah, we are hearing with our own ears, and we are reading the newspapers and listening to the news of people dying in the prostitute quarters, people dying in cinemas and theaters and discos, people dying in casinos. Oh Allah, whole hotels have been swallowed up by earthquakes where so much of zina was being committed. Ay, very Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Ameen. Don't let the angel of death find us with some filthy novel in our hands or porn literature in our hands. Ameen. Don't let the angel of death find us glued to some filthy television program. Ay Allah, the Muslims of the past, they used to die sometimes in the battlefield. Kabhi jihad ke andar unki maut aati thi. They used to become shaheed, O Allah. And they used to consider shahadat as a great honor. Allah, they used to give their lives for the sake of your deen. Allah, Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so many others, O Allah, they gave their lives for the sake of your deen. Musalman sometimes used to die in jihad. Sometimes reading the Quran. Sometimes serving his parents, sometimes in the khidmat of his wife and children, sometimes earning a halal livelihood. But oh Allah, he never used to die a haram death. Ay Allah, aaj kutto ki tarah maut aa rahi hai. Oh Allah, so many of the Muslim Ummah are dying in haram places, oh Allah. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak time, in this Mubarak occasion, Allah, tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram. Allah, forgive each and every one of us. When the time of our death comes, O Allah, take us to Madina Tayyiba. O Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, barakat in our lives, barakat in our times. O Allah, all our parents, brothers, sisters, family members, whosoever passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. O Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Palestine. Oh, my beloved Allah, so many Muslim countries, but no one coming to the assistance of our little children, innocent women. Ay, very Allah, they are just watching. Oh, my Allah, their conferences are not finishing. Oh, my Allah, their resolutions are not finishing. Oh, my beloved Allah, give them hidayat to come to the assistance of the Mujahideen and our brothers and sisters of Palestine. Allah, gunships, helicopters, bombers, naval vessels, everything is used, tanks are being used. And oh Allah, our little children are just throwing stones. And these countries are looking like puppets. Ay Allah, tu unko hidayat de de. Allah, help the Mujahideen of Afghanistan. Taliban ki dobara madad aur nusrat farma. Ay Allah, shake up the earth beneath the feet of the enemies. Either give them hidayat or shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Oh Allah, bless them with iman. But if iman is not in their muqaddar because of their obstinacy, then oh Allah, cause their planes to crash. Cause the storms in the ocean to sink their ships. Oh Allah, destroy them like how you destroyed the army of Abraha. Ay mere yare khuda, create division and disunity amongst their ranks. Allah, unite the Muslim Ummah. Puri Ummat ko ek bana de aur nek bana de. All the works of deen that are taking place, accept them. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Masajid madaris ki mehnat qubool farma. Khanqa aur mashayikh ki mehnat qubool farma. Ay mere pyare Allah, Rasool Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the du'as that he made for us. His entire life, so much of sacrifices he made for us. Ay Allah, all the du'as that he made for us of goodness, bless us with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness. Our entire families with that goodness. And the entire ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, oh Allah, protect the entire ummat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Oh Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. Do not make them a curse upon us. Ay mere pyare Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in Hajjatul Wida, all the du'as that he made for us, bless us with that goodness. From the fitnas of Dajjal, protect the entire ummah. Ay Allah, protect us and safeguard us from stealing, from gambling, from cheating, from fornication, from adultery. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ay Allah, jab hamare marne ka waqt aaye to madina tayyiba ki sarzameen pe hame bula le. Oh my beloved Allah, because we have nothing to our credit, we haven't done anything really to please you. Oh Allah, what are we going to go to in the grave with? Ya Allah, therefore when our time of departure comes from this world, then call us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba and burial in Jannatul Baqi. But oh Allah, if our death is not muqaddar in Madina Tayyiba, wherever it may be, ya Allah, at the time of our death, show us some tajalli of yours so that our ruh and soul comes dancing towards you. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.